Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. One of the most familiar verses in our Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16, where we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it's been rightly called the gospel in a nutshell because the entire gospel message can be expressed in these 25 words alone. In today's broadcast, evangelist Marvin Dirksen takes up this wonderful verse in John's Gospel and focuses specifically on what he calls 10 golden words. And from these 10 words, we see the heart of God expressed toward us, his love, and his desire for our blessing. The scope of God's offer is to whosoever will, to all people, to you. And finally, the simple terms of receiving God's wonderful gift of salvation. So let's join Mr. Dirksen as he explores this wonderful verse and the truths found in it that are so important for all of us to know.
We're going to read John chapter 3 and verse number 16. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just one final reading in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, and we'll read at verse number 17. Paul is requesting, making a request of these believers, and in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17, he writes that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And you'll notice the four dimensions there. Ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. We are mentioning this morning in this auditorium that John's vocabulary is very limited. He's writing now as likely a 90-year-old man. And I have tried to picture in my mind what the assignment must have been like. But the Spirit of God began to move in this man's soul, and he was asked to write a letter. And he wasn't told in specific terms, but if someone had told us that we had to write a letter and we could only use 600 words, that would kind of confine things, wouldn't it? And if we were told not just to use 600 words, but the words we use must be able to be read by a 7-year-old, a grade 2 student. That would narrow it down a little bit more. And if we are told now what you're about to write must touch the truth of eternity, and it must explain about the God of eternity, and the creation of God, and the scope of God's love. And after you've done that, John, I want you to describe an incredible life, a life that was absolutely perfect, no sin, no blemish, no flaw. I want you to include dialogue and conversations that this man had with individuals. I want you to describe what took place in the cross and tell us why it took place. And I want you to explain in those 600 different words of what salvation is all about. I think we would be overwhelmed with the project, overwhelmed with the assignment. And yet here we are in the Gospel of John, and as John picked up his pen as a 90-year-old man, he began to write in simple words that a grade 2 student can understand about the fullness of the God that we're dealing with. What we have read tonight is really one of the golden verses of the Bible. We find that John chapter 3 describes for us the interview that the Lord Jesus had with a very religious man, a man that knew the scriptures, a man that was well-versed in all that the law said. And yet a man who one night decided to go and knock at a door to see if he could speak to this amazing teacher. And as he knocked at the door and the door opened, the Lord Jesus Christ invited him in. Nicodemus heard some very, very amazing words. Part of the dialogue included John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'd like to look at just 10 of those 25 words. Because as you follow down, you'll find that these words include God, loved, the world, gave, Son, whosoever believeth, perish, have life. You know, when you take those 10 words, as found in John chapter 3 and verse 16, they encompass the fullness of the gospel message and the fullness of what God is seeking to convey to us tonight. It's interesting when we look at these 10 words that we really have 5 different pairs. And as Nicodemus heard these words, he must have shaken his head with amazement, because this is a verse that reveals wonderful truth. We find that when we read these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that the very Godhead has been revealed as we think of the God who is invisible, and yet the Son who made God visible. God and Son is the revelation of all that God is. But we find that secondly, the very heart of God has been revealed. What kind of a God are we dealing with tonight? We've been hearing of the judgment of God. We've been hearing of the holiness of God. And John chapter 3 describes that same God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when we put the word love and gave together, the very heart of God has been revealed. But the scope of God's salvation is revealed now. We might ask very plainly, who's it for? Who's it include? God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, and from the vast, vast world in which we find ourselves tonight, God singles out the individual. You are in view tonight as far as God's purpose and God's love. The scope of God's salvation is found in John 3:16. But there's something else that's been revealed. The very terms of how a person could be saved is found in that verse. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. And believing what God says and accepting what God has provided brings an individual into the great reality of having everlasting life. In about 2.5 weeks, I'll have a birthday. It's my second spiritual birthday, you might say. 1971 in a boarding house in London, Ontario, third-year university student. I'd come to understand that there was someone and something missing in my life. As I thought of where I was going, I was very uneasy. I became very much afraid because I realized I was not going to heaven. I was heading for hell, and it deeply concerned me. And yet that night, March the 6th, 1971, it's a few years ago now, reading God's words, I came to understand that what God had provided could be trusted, that this book is true, that God had a message for me, and I simply believed what God said. And I came into the great assurance of everlasting life. And tonight, I can tell you, and I'm not boasting, I say it thankfully, I have everlasting life. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. I don't merit it, but the very terms of salvation simply come down to this, that when a person will accept what God says and will accept what God has provided, they have everlasting life. And this verse finally reveals the extremities of eternity should not perish. We've been hearing the solemn, solemn teaching of the Lord Jesus, and this book is filled with the solemn teaching of perishing in our sins. But we have read that a person can have everlasting life. They can know it. They can enjoy it. It starts in time, and it will never end for all eternity. And tonight, you could leave this auditorium enjoying and appreciating, I have everlasting life. And that life is found in Christ alone. This is a verse of revelation. God so loved the world. I'm sure you've heard it, and I've heard it many times. What kind of a God is the God of the Bible? And if there is a God, why doesn't he clean up this mess? This world is on a downward course, and people somehow wonder, is there even a God? Is he turned away? Are we left to ourselves? We find that God has revealed himself through his words, But there came a moment when the invisible God became visible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When the Father sent the Son, he sent him that we might understand who he is. In fact, that wonderful verse that comes in verse number 17, God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Find that when God expressed his love, and when God expressed himself in the person of God's beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, all that God is was visibly seen in the man Christ Jesus. That simply means that when Mary held her newborn son, she was looking at the very Son of God. My, how fragile, how small. And yet as she held that wee babe, that very babe was holding up the entire universe that surrounds us and surrounds all that we know tonight. And as that wee babe grew up to a young lad and then a man, we find as people watched him and as they observed him, they observed an absolutely unique life. And there were those that understood God has spoken to us. This is the very person of God that we are seeing. That's why when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a man, not just a good teacher, not just a moral example, we find that he's God incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why is that so important? Because we would never have known who God is and what he's like apart from seeing himself in the person of his beloved Son. Do you know the very God who has made this world? The very God who holds our breath in his hand? The very God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Father of eternity? There was something in his heart that longed to convey truth to us, that we might understand exactly who he is. Not just a God of wonderful power, not just a God of inflexible holiness, he is, whose very focus is this world of people. And the only way he could communicate that to us occurred when God willingly became a man without sin. You see, Jesus Christ is God in focus. And this golden verse tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But I have mentioned that John 3:16 reveals the heart of God. And we find that this verse reveals a God that is unlike many times what this world believes him to be. We have hard thoughts of God. Many times we make him out to be a very hard taskmaster that doesn't want anybody to have any enjoyment in life. My friend, if that's your thoughts of the God of the Bible and the God of heaven and the God of salvation, your thoughts are wrong. This verse tells us God so loved the world, and he proved that love by giving his only begotten Son. Valentine's Day is a mammoth commercial attempt to express human love. Cards, chocolates, and flowers. And maybe a night out to the restaurant. Maybe you spent $100. Maybe that was an extravagant display of love. But you know what? It came to the very heart of God. God so loved the world that he just didn't give us a few blessings. Didn't give us a few words of encouragement. And he just didn't say, "Now I love you down there. Do the best you can." God's love was revealed in its fullness. God's love was revealed in the giving of a Savior. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. A greater gift has never been given. A greater expression of love has never been demonstrated. You just see what moves me tonight when I think of God's love and God's gift is the fact that God knew exactly what the price tag would be. God knew the cost to himself and the cost to his beloved Son. He knew that Calvary, the cross of Calvary, was in view. And yet the love of God for a hell-deserving world was revealed in the fullness when God gave his Son to suffer, bleed, and die. I don't think there's a parent here that would be willing to part with any of their children. Mind you, our children, and I'm sure the same goes for us as children. We certainly didn't please our parents all the time, did we? And there are children tonight and young people that bring grief to their parents. But regardless, we love our children. And God loved his Son. That Son that brought infinite delight to him. That Son that was so responsive and so obedient. Never turned aside. Absolutely perfect. And yet as God looked at this world, God's love was expressed in its fullness when God parted with his Son and gave him to become the Savior of the world. Can you tell me one reason why God should love this world? Or maybe I should make it a little more personal. Can you tell me one reason why God should love you and why God should love me? In all honesty, I can't think of one reason. I think of my heart, and I'll just speak personally. My heart is self-centered. My heart is all taken up with I, me, my. My heart, naturally speaking, had no interest in God. For 22 years, I never gave much time, never gave much response, never gave many affection, never said thank you for the giving of his son. Just going my own way. Yet despite our indifference and our rejection and our unbelief and our unthankfulness and our self-centeredness, and despite a million one other things that mark us as human beings, sinners, truth stands. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, when an individual comes to just appreciate personally, the Son of God loved me. He gave himself for me. It suddenly becomes personal. It becomes meaningful. It becomes eternity changing. That this love that was expressed in the giving of his son, and the love that was expressed by the Savior in the giving of his life at the cross, has provided salvation for every single individual. Let me ask you tonight, what has your response been to the love of God? What does the Savior mean to you personally? Have you ever thanked him personally? Elizabeth Barrett Browning was a poetess back in the early 1800s. Now, those that are studying English literature will likely have come across her name. As a young adult, she came in contact with another poet by the name of Robert Browning. Elizabeth Barrett, Robert Browning, crossed paths. There was a mutual interest, and before long, the interest developed into friendship, and the friendship eventually developed into love, and those two decided to get married. Elizabeth's father was very, very opposed, and I don't have all the details why he was so opposed, but he was vehemently opposed against that relationship and vehemently opposed against the thought of his daughter marrying Robert Browning. But you know, love triumphed. Those two were married. From England, they moved to Italy, where they wrote for many years. But Elizabeth, though she had been shunned by her father, and though she knew his opposition and all that he had said to her, she still loved her father. And during those years in Italy, Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a letter every single week to her parents. Now, that's a lot of letters. 10 years ruled their course. 500 letters or more. One day she got a box in the mail. It's from her father. She hadn't heard from him in 10 years. And she was overwhelmed to receive a box in the mail from her father. She thought, "My, is it possible? Has he changed his mind? I have been trying to convey my love to him. I have tried to tell him how much I care for him and to bring him into the awareness of what I'm doing." And as she opened that box, to her horror, she discovered that all of her letters of the past 10 years were in that box. And as she pulled those letters out, she discovered every single one of them was unopened. Love rejected. Love spurned. And tonight in this world of ours, I trust you understand that heaven's love has been revealed. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. And tonight the big question is, what have you done with that gift? What have you done with heaven's love for sinners? What has your response been? Are you like Elizabeth's father that has turned a deaf ear, has not opened the letter, has never said thank you to heaven's love? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me just tell you very quickly now in the latter part of this meeting, the scope of salvation. You might say, who does it include? God so loved the world. This vast globe of ours is the object of heaven's love. And yet from the 7 billion people, whatever it is, on the face of the earth tonight, God brings it right down to the individual. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heaven's love needs to become personal. One thing to say that God loved the world, that's an amazing fact. But oh, to think that I can say tonight, God loves me, and God loves me, and God will love me forever. I don't deserve it. But the scope of heaven's love and the scope of heaven's provision is universal, and yet comes right down to the individual. And the terms, how simple. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, tonight, God is not asking us to do something to merit this gift. God doesn't say, now, if you just kind of measure up, maybe I can give you this gift of everlasting life. And if you turn over a new leaf and clean up your life, that should help the process. As God reveals our condition, as God reveals the x-ray of how he sees us, he makes us aware that none of us measure up. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a big problem. And the big problem is that we do not merit salvation and we can never earn it because we are sinners, starting with the speaker to every individual. So God says, I'm going to provide salvation. I am going to do the work required. I will pay the price that work will require. And there upon that cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for sins, this wondrous book tells us that all that he suffered was sufficient to meet the standard of heaven. Every charge that was against us was answered by him at the place called Calvary. And all that we deserve because of our sins was all placed upon him. And at the end of those hours of suffering upon the cross, there was one mighty cry that went up from Calvary. Listen to what he said. It is finished. You say, what was finished? He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. I understand that those words simply mean it's paid in full. The debt has been realized. The debt has been met. The price has been paid. It is finished. And for an individual that will simply take God at his word, for an individual that will simply rest on what Christ has done, they come into the great blessing of having everlasting life. You say, that is too simple. Well, that's what I thought. I thought there was something I had to do until I realized I couldn't do anything. And until I realized Christ had done it all. And now the great invitation is simply this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, I'm resting tonight on a finished work. I'm resting tonight on an unchanging book. This book will never change. This is God's word. You can trust this book. The verse I was reading were the words of Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. And I'll just tell you this. When I read those words, I said, what God is saying is true about me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And I said, that's true. And then I read these golden words, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. That night, lying in my bed, as a young man of almost 22, I realized that what took place on the cross was sufficient to meet my need. God had told me about it, and I just simply took God at his word. Will you accept what God says? And will you accept what God is offering you? But there are two eternal destinies in view. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are those in our audience tonight and in this city of ours and in this world of ours that have everlasting life and are heading for heaven. There are those tonight in this audience, very likely, that have never had a moment of salvation, and they are in danger of perishing eternally. Because tonight you don't have to perish. You don't have to leave without a Savior. You could leave with everlasting life by accepting what Christ has done and resting on God's unchanging word.
And how do we receive this wonderful gift of God? We receive it by believing on him, on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a glorious message. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday night, as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the Gospel Hall nearest you. Also, feel free to take a look at other literature and audio offers at anchorpointradio.com, where you can also subscribe to our Anchor Point podcast. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.